Okay, chapter 5 this morning of Proverbs. We'll start with verse 1 and I'll read the chapter first. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that you cannot know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy neighbor labors be in the house of a stranger. And you mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad in rivers of water in the streets. Let them be thy own, only thy own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Let's go back again and take a look now and see what we got to find out in this today. My son, who's he talking to? There you go. He's talking to each one of you individually. Attend, or literally pay attention to my wisdom, and not bow, but turn your ear to my understanding. So in other words, it'd be like turning your head so you can hear more clearly. When you know the direction the sound's coming from, you can turn your head and get it clearer. He said, turn your ear to my understanding, that you, and cross out the word mayest, because that word is an added word, and it's also a doubt word, isn't it? That you regard or preserve what? Literally, the word discretion is the ability to decide responsibly. What? That's what it's saying. The thought process would be shama, but the word isn't being used here. But it's saying that you preserve the ability to decide responsibly, and that your lips, cross out that word may, because that's another added word, keep knowledge. So that when you speak, if you preserve the ability to decide responsibly, your lips will what? Keep knowledge, or when you speak, what will come forth from your lips? Knowledge. So you'll speak it. If you preserve it in your mind, your thought process, when you speak, you'll, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I have the love of God in my heart, I will speak that when I speak to people. If I have the wisdom of God, I'll speak from that wisdom or that knowledge. Right? Verse 3. First word should be because. Because the lips of not a adulteress, but the adulterous woman, right? Not strange, but the adulterous woman, ooze or drip as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, or literally olive oil. You know, it's very smooth, very slippery, very good lubricant. That's saying that she says things that are very smooth. So the adulteress has a very good way of persuasive way of talking. Would you agree to that? She's a seducer, absolutely. But her end is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. What does it say in Hebrews 4 and 12? The word of God sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder or separating the soul from the spirit. Okay. And that's okay. The word of God is going to separate it. The only thing that's going to take us out of this realm of duality is the word of God separating the soulish from the spiritual. Her feet, or her lifestyle, descends to death. her lifestyle descends to death. Her what? Her steps, or literally her course of life, take hold of what? Not hell. There you go, it's Sheol. Her steps take hold of the grave. In the context of the Old Testament, in the Jewish culture, there was no concept of hell. God never taught them about this place called hell that the church teaches. Jewish people look at, if you tell someone, the Jewish people in this culture that lived in that day, tell them to go to hell, they would look at you and say, where's that at? What are you talking about? I thought it was funny because I saw it when the Hezbollah was attacking Israel over there from Lebanon, was in Israel's at war here a few years ago, and they had this big sign up that said, Zionists go to hell. Well, they call the Jews Zionists, the Israelites, and I could see the Jews looking at that and say, where's that? Because their culture, they're not taught about hell. It's not there. That concept isn't there. It's about what man has put into it, the English culture put into it from England in King James Day. Verse 6, lest you should, he said, if you pay attention to her, he said, lest you, if you stay away from this and keep the wisdom of God and the understanding of God, you should ponder not ponder her life. Her ways are immovable, that you cannot know them. So it's saying you're never going to get her in the corner. It's kind of like a politician today. And you know, like kind of like a joke I've had for years, the reason that there's an Oval Office in the White House for the president, so you can't get him in a corner. You know, and that's the way that the soul is. That's the way this adulteress is. You can never corner her. She's always movable, always changing the way she is, trying to make you follow her wherever she goes. Verse 7, hear me now, and that is Shammah. Hear me with the intent to respond positively to what I'm saying. You children, and the word children here is not correct. It's the same word, the very first word in this chapter, son. Bane is the Hebrew word, bane. So he's talking not just about everybody that he's children. We're all his children, but is everybody his sons? Everybody's not mature sons. So he says, hear now with the intent to respond positively, now, ye sons, and depart not from the words of my mouth. He's saying, so don't go off on another course. Stay on the course. Okay? Remove your course of life far from her, and come not near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel. Verse 10, lest strangers or the adulteress be filled with your, not wealth, but your strength. I'll take your strength. And your labors be in the house of the adulteress. All your labor will be in her house, right? Your soulish side will take everything if you let it. You have to tell that female inside sometimes to shut up, don't we? Generally about every day. Verse 11, and you mourn or groan at the last when your flesh and your body are come to an end, literally is what it should say, or come to an end, when your life comes to an end, and say, how I have hated, the word have and I should be switched around, how have I, it should say, how I have hated instruction, the word instruction literally should be discipline. How I have hated discipline. And that's what people was going to say at the end of their lives. They're going to say, man, I hated discipline. Why? Why didn't I receive the discipline that God gave me? And my heart despised what? Correction. You know how many people probably said this? Billions of people that said this through their lives? When they come to the end, why didn't I listen? It was right there and I didn't take advantage of it. Too late. And I'm not too late that you're going to hell, but too late that you can't get any change out of it. You can't get the benefit. See, right now, we may be getting the short end of the stick as far as some people view it, but we're getting to be changed, and they're being shortchanged because they're letting their woman run their lives, their female, their soul run their lives. If we realize, hey, we're the ones coming out with the rewards. We got the rewards in the end. So I feel sorry for them. They say, well, I'm doing what I want. And I said, I am too. Doing exactly what I want. And it just happens to line up with what Father wants. And that's the good one. Huh? Just obeying the Father. Verse 13, and they have not obeyed the voice. Now, that word obeyed is not correct. You know what that word is? Shammah. They have not heard with the intent to respond positively to the voice of my teachers. They didn't pay attention to who God set in their life. And see, everybody thinks when he said teachers, they think it's talking about the church. their Bible school teachers or Sunday school teachers or whatever. That's not what he's talking about. The whole world is teachers, are they not? The whole world is teachers. They'll teach you the right thing or the wrong thing, won't they? But everybody's teaching you something, some way to respond. But they have not heard with the intent to respond positively to the voice of their teachers, nor turned my ear to them that instructed me. And that word inclined is again turn, like it was up there in the first verse. Turn your ear to my understanding. Turn your ear to them that instructed me. Verse 14. I was almost all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I was almost all evil. Who can say that wasn't them? The next verse goes on and says, drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. And these two verses, I feel, really go together. It says, I was almost all evil in the midst of the congregation assembly. So in the congregation assembly, I was in the midst of evil. Now, what's it saying? I'm not saying that all the people are evil in the congregation. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in a congregation, there is always evil. Wherever there's people, guess what there is? There's evil. And he says, if I draw from those waters from the congregation, guess what I'm drinking? Evil water, bitter water, man-made doctrines. And then it says, but drink waters out of your own cistern. Out of your own reservoir within you is where you should be drawing your truth from. Is that not true? Okay. And running waters out of your own well. And does the scripture say we should be wells of living water, springs of living water, springing up out of our souls, out of our spirits? Not souls, spirits. And see, people don't realize this is a personal thing. You've got to understand we got to do it ourselves. We cannot do it for somebody else. We can assist. We can drop breadcrumbs to give you a trail to follow. We can do a lot of things to assist, but you still got to take the bull by the horn yourself. Only way it's going to work. And then it says this, and I love this verse, and most people don't understand what it says. It says, let their fountains be dispersed abroad. Literally, the word is outside. See, if the water comes up out of me, where should it go? Out. Out. And rivers of water in the streets or in the open places. He's saying, what God gives within you, let it flow out of you. Let the world see it. Don't worry what the world thinks. Don't worry what the religious system thinks. Don't worry about what the man's church system thinks about you. Let it flow from your life. Be who you be. How about that? If God's created you to be a fountain and a spigot to flow this word out, what are you supposed to do with it? Let it out. Don't worry about what nobody else says. Don't worry about them. God will take care of you. And look what it says. Let them be your own and not the adulteresses in you. Let it be the Spirit of God flowing from you. And he's telling you right here, that opinion that you have of yourself, of low self-esteem, condemnation, guilt, that's the adulteress. That is not you. Do you hear me? That is not you. He said, let it be your own and not the strangers in you. That word with should be in. Not these adulterers in you. Not the soulish emotional side in you that's giving you all this condemnation and guilt. Kick her in the teeth. This is about the Son of God, the sons of God raising up within you. Let thy fountain be blessed. Let me put another word in there. Fountain. Let your source be blessed. See? Isn't the fountain the source? It's the Christ. See, let your source be blessed. It's Christ. You know how Christ is blessed? By you being who he wants you to be. By you letting it flow out of you the same way it flowed out of him when he walked this earth. He's that pattern son, isn't he? And that's what he wants us to be. Just be who he's created us to be. Be that conduit to flow out the source of life that he's given you. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. See, I'm not supposed to be mad at the soul God gave me. That's what he's talking about, the wife of my youth. My female side. I'm not afraid to be in touch with my feminine side of emotions. But you know what? She ain't going to control me. You hear what I'm saying? And that's not about a man and a woman. It's about, we're talking soulish and spiritual here. I am not going to be controlled by my emotions. I have emotions. Jesus walked, he had emotions. And it says even God sits in the heavens and laughs. Well, guess what? Laughing is an emotion. So God evidently has emotions also, doesn't he? But I'll bet you they don't control him. Verse 19, let her be as a loving hind or doe and pleasant roe. It says a loving and graceful doe. And let her breast satisfy you at all times. You know what? The soul has a benefit to us as we go through life. There's a benefit. But only when she's in her proper position, correct? When my soul is in submission to the Christ within me, she is very productive in my life. But only when she's in her proper position. Just like if we change position with the Christ within us and the soul, and that's where most people are at with position change, with the soul making the decisions, it's out of whack. Everything's out of whack. But when it all goes back to the position it's supposed to be in, and it's not that literal man ruling over woman thing, it's about the soul and the spirit. The spirit's the male side, the soul's the female side. When you put them in order, everything's fine. To the Spirit of God, that's right. Then everything's fine, isn't it? Everything's fine. And be thou ravished or intoxicated always with her love. Just like Adam when he died for Eve, correct? You think he'd done that to be in rebellion to God? He was protecting his woman. He was reinstating his woman, his soul. I'm not supposed to try to destroy my soul. I'm supposed to take care of what God has given me in this life and utilize it to the fullest, but not let it control me. And why will you, my son, be intoxicated or enraptured with an adulteress or the adulteress and embrace the bosom or the lap of the adulteress? Why do you want to go to the soulish side? That's all he's telling you. Why do you want to go there? And here's why he says you shouldn't worry about the soul, why you shouldn't be intoxicated by her. Verse 21 says, because the ways or the course of life of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders or prepares, is what the word should say. He prepares all his paths. Did it say some people, or who's he talking to? If God prepares your path, what are you worried about? If God prepares my path and sends me through some really dangerous situations, whose concern is that? It's up to God to take care of his servants, isn't it? His sons. What am I? That's his. Security is God's department, not mine. Right? If I understand that, I can back off and let it go. Verse 22. His own iniquities or perversity or depravity shall take the wicked himself. His own wickedness will take himself. And he shall be held with the cords of his what? I don't like the word sin, and that's not the word there anyway. It literally should be held by the cords of his offenses, of his offense. There are 8 words in the Hebrew translated into the word sin. Did you know that? There is 8 different words that they translate into the word sin. And not to shock anybody, but listen to what I'm going to say. They're not all correct. They're not correctly translated. I'm not going to get into all the 8 words or anything like that. You'll have to dig in yourself on that. But you'll find out there's a lot of words that they use or misuse for the word sin. Verse 23, he shall die without what? Literally it says he shall die without discipline or correction. This is the one who refuses to hear his teachers. Refuses to attend to God's wisdom and turn his ear to God's understanding. In verse 1, this is the man. He shall die without discipline or correction, and in the abundance of his foolishness, he shall be intoxicated or enraptured. He's going to be so caught up in his things that he's doing that he'll never hear anything until it's over. Huh? He'll be caught up in the ego of self. The ego of man will intoxicate you. You can get caught up with notoriety and fame. I know a man that's so caught up in his, and I think the man really is a wonderful person, but he's so caught up in becoming famous for certain things he's done or doing that he's missing the whole point of what he's trying to promote. So if I'm trying to promote the godliness of God, and yet I'm being caught up in pride and ego, what am I teaching? I'm teaching pride and ego, that I am superior to someone else. And I know the man doesn't see it, but I hope God shows it to him. I've punched his nose a few times, you know, on other things, and I just told him, because I can talk to the man straight, so if it comes to that, I will, but I don't cherish the thought of having to do it. But if God gives me the opportunity and wants me to do it, I'll do it, and let him know, you're going out there a little too far, and that's not where you should be. You should be a little bit more humble in your presentation, of what you're doing. Because if I tell you that this is the way God is, and then I turn around and act differently, I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. And there's a word for that when you act one way and say you're something else, isn't there? Yep, that's that old dirty word, hypocrite, but it's the truth. There's many teachers, but not many fathers. Many teachers, but not many fathers. Tell you what you got to hear. Yes, he'll give you the rod of correction. No. And like I say, I've said things to people that I know are harsh at times, but sometimes they need the harshness to get their attention, and it's not given to them in a negative way. It's given to them in a way to get their attention so they will change. It's not meant to just hurt or destroy. It's meant to get their attention so they can change. How many fathers? Right. Yeah, it's a baby. Yep. So when we grow up, we're not in that way anymore. Thank God for that, huh? That we can grow up, and then when we grow up, we can help somebody else.